Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, Easter is fast approaching, and with it come the images we often see of baby animals representing new life. Well, I want you to imagine for a moment a beautiful human baby, no matter how he or she came to be, and knowing that they are pure and have the promise of a bright future. Well, babies need lots of love and care, and when they don't receive those necessities, even their physical development can be impacted. Today here on Family Talk, we're going to hear from a courageous woman who has answered God's call to help the preborn as well as young people in Romania. Here now is our own Gary Bauer to introduce today's guest, Sarah Vienna, right here on Family Talk.
Hello and welcome to Family Talk. I'm Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm also the host of Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, our weekly podcast. I'm honored to be working alongside my good friend, Dr. James Dobson. Today, we've got a great guest and a good friend of our ministry. She's an international speaker, singer, and songwriter. Her name is Sarah Vienna. She's also the co-founder of Firm Foundations Romania. Sarah is a courageous woman who has spent her life working and singing to be a voice for the voiceless. Sarah, welcome back to Family Talk. Dr. Dobson and his wife, Shirley, send you their best regards.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back, and it's great to see and hear your voice, Gary.
Well, thank you. It's been a little while since we've had you on the show, and, you know, Dr. Dobson's audience continues to grow. Your story of what God laid on your heart in a trip abroad is an amazing story. So why don't we assume that nobody listening has heard this story and give us a little bit of a recap of how the course of your life was so dramatically changed a number of years ago now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we could say about 20 years ago. 20 years ago is when I took a leap of faith, and it was the best risk of faith I ever took. And I'm still thanking the Lord every single day for the journey that He has prepared for me. You know, growing up, I grew up in a big family. I'm the youngest of seven sisters. And then 17 years ago, my parents adopted my little sister, Claire. So there's eight sisters, musical sisters. And, you know, my mom always just encouraged us to read books about men and women who took risks of faith for the Lord and went on amazing missionary journeys. And it inspired me as a young adult. And my mom said at 18 that I was going to be an Esther and lead people closer to the Lord. And I knew something was around the corner for me. And then close friends suggested Youth with a Mission, YWAM. It's a discipleship training school where you learn about the Lord and missions for the first 3 months. And then the last 3 months, you go on a mission. At first, I was like, no, I don't think this type of school is for me. I don't want to push my religion, hand out tracts. But the Lord melted my heart, and the Holy Spirit guided me to say yes. And so I went on a YWAM journey in London, which eventually led me to the country of Romania, the city of Brașov, Romania, for a two-month outreach. And I fell in love with the city and fell in love with the calling. And God said, 2 months is too short. So fast forwarding 20 years later, I'm still in the country.
Wow, that's amazing. So there was a particular, I believe, visit that you made to, was it a hospital where you saw how some children were being treated that really led you to focus in on the ministry of trying to help those kids?
Yeah, it was in 2005. Some friends of mine invited me to visit Children's Hospital, and they know that I could sing, and they asked me to sing some Christmas carols for some what we thought were just a few babies that were left alone in this hospital in the center of Brașov, Romania. And what we found on that day were rooms full of babies and children in alone in these terrible prison-like cribs. The smell in the air was just so offensive, and it was just a horrific sight. And the most eerie part of it all is that there was not one cry from the children, one cry from the babies, because they learned that crying did not answer their call, their needs. And so God placed on our hearts to start buying disposable diapers, and diapers turned into cuddling babies for an hour. And then it just, our program started to expand. And fast forwarding up to now, we provide over 35,000 diapers on an annual basis for this hospital. And we run an international volunteer program.
Incredible.
We've cuddled and loved over 14,000 babies since 2005. So I feel like I've had a lot of children in my life. Even though I never had my own children, I feel like I've had a lot of children.
Well, I've heard Dr. Dobson talk about this. There's actually a lot of scientific research about the need of children to be touched, to be cuddled, to be held. And it's a sad mark of the times we live in that there's so many children around the world and even here in the United States that are treated so poorly. You know, Sarah, I remember you did an incredible song. I loved it. I think it was titled I'm Alive, which is a song from the perspective of the unborn child talking to their mother. So really, the work you're doing is in Romania, it's all about the sanctity of life. Mm-hmm. It's just a different aspect of that.
It's protecting God's most precious creation inside and outside of the womb. And I'm so great. Yes. I'm so glad you brought up that the song I'm Alive, because I'm so excited to share that. My friend Jennifer Wilder Morgan wrote a children's book off of that song, I'm Alive, Dear Mama. It'll be released in this fall in 2024. So how I would love to leave a legacy is just protecting the most innocent creation and serving the Lord in this way, because this is what we're called to do, is to protect His creation.
Mm. You know, we live in a country built on the idea that every baby is made in the image of God. You know, it's in the Declaration of Independence that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator. And so, yeah, the message of that, and it's a biblical message, it doesn't matter whether you're a child in Romania or a child in America or how much money your parents have in the bank or whether they don't have any or what the color of your skin is, none of that matters, because all children, and whether, again, it's a hospital in Romania or a child in a suburb of some American city, they all have dignity, value, and worth because they're made in the image of God. And for you, through your music and your ministry, to promote that idea in such a dramatic way, you should feel very good about how God has used you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored. I always wanted to be a Joan of Arc. I wanted to be in the front lines. And I think we discussed that earlier. It's just being, you know, waving that flag for Jesus Christ. And because we are in a spiritual battle, and the spiritual battle is attacking the light. But we know where the victory comes from. We know the final end. And Jesus is in control.
No question. Jesus is in control. Don't you have a new album coming out? Keep Going, I believe is the name of it.
Yeah, it just has been released. Keep Going, Sarah Vienna. It's available on Spotify, Apple Music, all the streamlines. Keep Going is really about persevering, about encouraging people to keep going no matter what faces them, no matter what, you know, spiritual attack or trial or sickness, just keep persevering. And I'm just really proud of the album. It, you know, music that I write and songs that I choose from other writers, you know, I carefully choose them like it's like a birth, you know. I want these songs to inspire people, to uplift them,
yes,
and to be memorable and to leave a legacy through music. That's my calling. You know, I just love music. I love the opportunity to mix ministry with ministry of what I'm doing in Romania. A music ministry. And that's what I do. I combine it and then share the message through speaking and stories and then sing it out and then lead people to in worship. And because we know worship breaks down those walls, breaks down the enemy's schemes. And we need this more and more as we take one day at a time here in this life.
Absolutely. Yes. So I know you know the history of Romania probably better than most of us do, but obviously that country, along with a good bit of Eastern Europe, was under the thumb of Soviet communism for decades and decades. And so the people suffered for a long, long time. And then that began to change in 1989, but with the fall of the Soviet Union and so forth. But do you see in your work there today still the evidence of what all those years of a godless philosophy being pressed down on those people and what that did to their families and their children and so forth? And are there still after effects there today that somebody like you deals with in trying to minister to these kids?
Yeah, I mean, it was 40 years, 40 long years of communism that Romania was under. And, you know, communism is such a destructive sort of reign over people because it strips your, you know, individual rights, your identity, your religion. You weren't allowed to have Bibles, and Christmas carols were not allowed. I mean, anything religious was basically torn down physically and emotionally. And, you know, I really love the country of Romania. The people of Romania are so resilient, and they're overcomers and they're warriors. You know, they had to fight their way back after communism, after their government, you know, failed them. And the people, I still talk to people around my age that say, I remember during communism times that, you know, we didn't have any butter. We had to limit our heat and it was freezing cold and our parents sometimes didn't return. And yeah, there's still those shadows. And then, you know, you see the elderly people walking around and, you know, they're hunched over and you see the sadness because they were tortured emotionally. And so, yeah, I still see it in the country. But, you know, the younger generation's rising up. There's a lot of youth that walk around these beautiful cities of Romania. And, you know, so they're bringing back laughter and they're bringing back smiles because during communism, nobody could trust anybody. Still to this day, my goal is to try to smile at everyone I pass by on the streets because you look down. You don't look at each other and say good day or bona ziua. You just look down and you're like two ships passing in the night. To be honest, sometimes I find myself doing that in America. It's like, no, don't fall into that. It's like, be friendly, especially in Texas. You know, it's like, howdy, you know. Yeah, there are still remnants, but it's slowly fading away. And that's a great thing.
Are there some stories that really stand out to you that have happened to you with children you've interacted with in Romania? I'm sure over the years there's been a lot of things, and maybe there isn't one that immediately comes to mind, but I just would like to hear more about, you know, your interactions with those children and how difficult it is to break through to them when for much of their life there hasn't been anybody giving them the normal attention that a child would expect to receive.
Right, right. I mean, I've dealt with children that have been orphaned. I've dealt with children that have been neglected, abused, or we call them social orphans, where they have been abandoned by their parents, but they still have their parents. It's just the circumstances didn't allow the parents to raise their children because of their impoverished conditions. So I've seen a lot of suffering. You know, the one story I'll never forget of the time that I had to work with the parents and their child was a very sad time was during at the children's hospital, and these poor parents, they were Roma gypsy. They couldn't afford, their little child passed away, died in the hospital, and they couldn't afford a funeral. They couldn't afford a coffin. They couldn't afford transport to drive their child back to their village to bury their child. And I was part of the team in the hospital working with the social worker, and they asked if I would be willing to drive the parents with their child in a, you know, wooden box to their village. I'll never forget just the feeling of sitting in front of the car. First of all, the responsibility, but seeing the desolation of the parents' faces, literally holding their little coffin on their laps. And I realized, like, wow, what certain people have to go through. And it's just the sadness and the grief. And how do you handle that sort of grief and sadness without knowing the Lord? I don't know. And so they'll never forget that moment. You know, as far as other children, you know, I've interacted in the orphanage that had no parents, you know, them just clinging on to you. And I wrote a song, Unwanted, for a little boy named Mihai who wanted, we were leaving his orphanage room and he wanted one more hug before he left his room. And my colleague wrote a poem called Unwanted and I turned it into a song. And it was about the pain of rejection. I'm very sensitive to rejection and sensitive to these children that do not deserve this sort of being alone without parents, never saying I love you, and or hearing the words I love you. And yeah, I have a lot of stories. It's just, I think that's what has driven me to educate and love children that deserve a chance. And that's what we're doing in the Roma Gypsy Villages of Budila. And, you know, we're working with 250 kids right now, educating them and sharing the gospel. And they're raising their hand saying, I accept Christ. And they're feeling loved and wanted. So this poem that started out as unwanted is turning into wanted and loved. And, you know, we're without love, we're nothing. And God will not leave us alone as orphans. You know, there are orphans in this world, but it's spiritually, we will never be abandoned by our Lord and our Heavenly Father. So,
yeah, well said. So your ministry continues there, and I assume you need assistance and support in order to do all the things you want. So I want to be sure that we don't get out of our conversation without you having a chance to tell people where they could go in order to support you or make a donation or to pray for you or whatever.
Yes, yes. Well, our organization, once again, is called Firm Foundations Romania. We have a website there, and you can read all about our background information. So it's firmfoundationsromania.com. And Yeah, we ask for prayer support. We ask for financial support. We have 8 full-time Romanian salaries to cover. We have 250 children that we provide healthy, you know, snacks and educational assistance and hygiene lessons. So yeah, we definitely need people's support. We're a worldwide team. Some can come and volunteer. Some can financially donate. Some can pray. I invite the listeners to get involved. Brașov, Romania is a beautiful city. Our heart, our mission is a family. We're a worldwide family. There's joy in giving. There's joy in serving. And the Holy Spirit's working in this country of Romania, and it's working in the center of our team. And the movement, it's moving, and we're growing, and we're on a journey. So we invite people to hop on our journey train and feel the joy of the Lord.
Well said. You know, Dr. Dobson and I have been banging our heads against the wall trying to get American Christians to do something. Now, You ended up being touched by Christ to have a heart for these children in Romania. But I think we all know that whatever the problems are around the world, whether it's in Romania or it's here in the United States, whether it's racial reconciliation or strengthening families or fighting corruption, none of these things are going to be solved without the love of Jesus Christ and the and the truth of the Bible. And the only way people can know those things is if the followers of Jesus Christ, men and women, go into the public square and act and do things. So, first of all, God bless you for when Christ led you in that direction. I can see a lot of people going, wait a minute, this must be a bad connection. You want me to do what? So what can you say to your fellow believers around America about how badly we're needed right now, wherever God sends us?
That's right. Well, the church needs to stand up and act and step out in faith. And we need to unite, link arm in arm, and stand up for those that have no voice. I ask our fellow Christians, now is the time to consider serving and others and reaching out and doing something beyond yourself. Step out of your own homes and look around you. Share the gospel, because when we share about the love of Christ, that shows that we care for people. Because it's not easy these days to share about Jesus and the light in this dark world because of what may come in response. But when we share, we care.
It's getting harder even here in the United States that was built on religious liberty. There's stories every day about people that get punished because they're open and honest about their faith.
Right. And Gary, you shared in your amazing end of the day reports that I love receiving. I think everyone should receive your thoughts in their inbox.
How nice of you.
And you shared about how the church also needs to stand up, and that if we all stand up together as Christians and stand up against just the injustices, and if we get in prison, there won't be enough space in the jails to house us. So they can't come against us, right? And we're too big of an army. So
that's exactly right. The body of Christ, I think, has more strength than we know, if only we are willing, with love, to speak to a hurting nation about all of these issues. And it's exactly for a time like this, I think, that God gave us the blessing of being born in a place like America.
Amen.
Where we do have still the liberty to speak about these things.
That's right. So. That's right. And the scripture I feel for me for 2024 and for our organization and for really all of us as Christians is beseech the Lord of the harvest, send forth the workers. For the harvest is great and the workers are few.
Hmm.
The harvest is great. Jesus called us to pray to our Heavenly Father, to His Father, to say, you know, send forth the workers, because people, he had compassion on these hurting people who do not know the Lord or who are suffering with, struggling with their relationship with the Lord. So I would suggest strongly that Christians who are listening to pull up their bootstraps here and get strong and get courageous, become courageous and share the love to the world of Jesus Christ. And because without love, we are nothing.
So that's kind of the theme of that song, right? And of the album of Keep Going. I mean, fear not, just... You know, keep going. Fight the good fight.
Got to keep going on and on and on and on. Yeah, we got to keep going, pressing on.
Well, you know, when you were praising my end of day report, thank you. Let me assure you, God did not put me in the line when he was handing out singing talent. That was definitely the line you were in. And I will not scare our audience away by trying to sing. But since you just let out a few notes, it would be wonderful if you would want to sing a little bit more of either that new song or of the song about the unborn child singing to their mother. I'll leave it up to you.
I am here deep inside you. You can't see me, but I am alive. And I am small, but I'm growing to be like you. I am alive. So give me a chance. Give me a chance. 'Cause I'm alive, and I want to breathe, and I want to see, and I want to feel you closely, and I want to run, and I want to see, and I want to hold you tenderly. So give me a chance, give me a chance, 'cause I'm alive.
Wow, that is... Yeah, I give a lot of speeches on the sanctity of life. I don't think any of them have been as powerful as just the simple verses of that song, Sarah. That was beautiful. Now, Sarah Vienna Ministries, that's separate from the work in Romania and allows you through your music to bring the good news. How do people get in touch with you there?
Yeah, they can visit my website, sarahvienna.com. I would invite everyone to visit the website, learn more about the story. I would love to come visit. I speak at a lot of ladies' function groups, missions groups. I'm a worship leader. So I have a passion to see people grow in the Lord and utilize their God-given gifts. I guess you could say I'm a motivational singer.
Yeah, I would say so.
So sarahvienna.com. Contact me. I would love to get in touch with you and meet you across the table.
Fantastic. Sarah, it's been wonderful to spend a little bit of time with you. I know you're in high demand around the country. You are a real example for all Christians, certainly for Christian women, about how showing our faith can make a difference in this world. Again, Dr. Dobson and Shirley send you their best, and I promise you that all of us at JDFI will be praying for you and your ministry in these months and years ahead.
Thank you.
Keep standing strong and fighting for family, faith, and freedom.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, Gary, for being a speaker of truth.
Well, Sarah Vienna certainly is using her gift of song to help others. Today here on Family Talk, our own Gary Bauer conducted a conversation with Sarah Vienna of Firm Foundations Romania. To learn more about Sarah or her ministry, or to share today's broadcast with a friend, simply visit drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. That's drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 26 and 27, we read about women. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. There's been a lot of confusion in the culture these days about what exactly a woman is and how to define her role. Well, here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we've partnered with Dr. Owen Strand to help bring women an encouraging word and to affirm what God's design for women really is. We've put together a PDF of a special download called What is a Woman According to God? And when you go to our website at drjamesdobson.org/family talk, be sure you download a free copy of this PDF. Again, the title is What is a Woman According to God? And you can find your copy absolutely free at drjamesdobson.org/family talk. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for making Family Talk a part of your day. And be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.